opening remarks.
Okay. Welcome to the first of the shiurim. Later this month, we'll have special shiurim. The one before Rosh Hashanah will be on Rosh Hashanah, and the one before Yom Kippur will be on Yom Kippur. If there's anyone here whose email address we don't have, give it to Zev Berman, and you will be apprised of if there's any scheduling changes, plus you'll have the Mara Mekomos. Thank you.
Yes, Kar. And I just also want to thank Zev Berman for all his good work. And Rabbi Arbisfeld, who, as I said, I say every year, but it's true, is the, you know, really the person who oversees and is the Ruach HaChaim of the Shir for many years now. So at least in the beginning of the year, I always want to thank him in advance for all that he does for the Shir. This year we're going to be learning Masechet Gittin. When I emailed the Mar Mekomos to Zev Berman, so I saw that he received it, and he wrote a little note back saying something to the effect that with all these pages, we're probably not going to get into the Gemara for a few months. So, you know, there are a few pages here because I wanted to cut down his work for next week. But we will be opening up the Gemara, just not... we're going to be learning the first parak, mostly. But, you know, Kedarkeinu, we're not going to start with the first parak. We're going to start with the end of the Masechta, because... that's actually the logical. What's that? Exactly. That's the logical place to begin, believe it or not. So the first topic that we're going to do is the mitzvah, or the isur, or the reshus of gerushin. How to understand and how to relate to divorce in Jewish law. Obviously, every culture that you know believes in a marriage, and therefore also has an institution of divorce, has to you know, take a stand on how they perceive divorce. And halacha is not just any culture, of course, it's Dvar Hashem. So it's a particularly fascinating and critically important question. How does the Torah itself and Chazal, by extension, how do they relate to this idea of divorce? Is there a mitzvah legares under certain conditions? Is it always, or at least under neutral conditions, aser legares, forbidden? Is it a devar reshus? What does it reflect about the kiddushin itself? What are the factors that determine this particular issue? When I was, in my Talmidim days, when I was in the Rav Shir, so the third year, I believe, that I was in the Shir, the Rav learned Masechet Gittin, and he came in the first day, and he said that... as everybody knows, Masechet Gittin really, you know, was written backwards, and he was, you know, half being half facetious, I guess. And he said, you know, so the logical place to begin is really with the last parak of Gittin is Parak HaMegaresh. And so it was. We not just in the Hagdama, we didn't give Hagdamas, but that year we started with HaMegaresh and then went backwards, HaMegaresh, Hazorek, and got a little bit into Ha'omer. So I was thinking, you know, how can one top that? So instead of starting with the last parak, I thought we would start with the last daf of the Masechta, which is daf tzadi omer aleph. So we can finish the Masechta, you know, this the first time maybe. Hopefully we'll do more than finish the Masechta, but before we're done. But the first Gemara, first Mishnah in Gemara is going to be the last. You'll see the last, literally the last daf of Gittin is Tzadi Omer Aleph. Now the truth is this isn't just my innovation or an expansion on the Rav's idea. The Rav's idea was really that the, you know, the Dinim of HaMegaresh, which talk about the exclusivity of, you know, or the inability of the husband to impose any further conditions or influence on his divorced wife. I'm sorry, you can't be Megaresh Chutz Miploni. So he thought that was a logical place to begin. And the famous mission of Gimel Gittin Psulin, which we'll be discussing on Dav Daled Amud Aleph, but of Rav Meir, Rav Elazar, Rav Eli Basir, and Edi Hasima, that's all in the last part, that's what he meant. But this last Gemara, last mission in Gemara is, in terms of conceptually, really the appropriate place to begin. And this isn't my Kiddush. It's beyond being eminently logical. Evidently, the Gaonim and the Rishonim understood this, or some of them understood this as well. If you look at the Baal Halachas Gedolos, which is one of the earliest works that we have, post the Mishnah and the Gemara, Halachas Gedolos begins Hilchos Gerushin with this sugya. Haiman, the boy, person wants to divorce his wife, and then he quotes the Mishnah here, the debate between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva, where the Mishnah says, on Tzadim Rala, Beis Shammai Omer Lo Yigarish Adam Es Ishto Elim Kein Matzah Ba Dvar Erva. A person should not, doesn't mean necessarily cannot, we'll discuss that too, whether it's not in the Yevet, but a person should not divorce his wife unless Matzah Ba Erva Is Dvar, unless there really was a betrayal of their marriage vows, unless she was involved in Dvar Erva. That's the view of Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai, based on the pasuk in Parshas Ki Teitzeh, this coming week's Parsha, Shenemar Ki Matzah Ba'Erva's Dabar. Beis Hillel Omrim Afilu Ikticha Tavshilo. Everybody knows this Beis Hillel, but we'll have to understand it, obviously, a little bit better. Even if she burns the stew, even then he is able to divorce. So the question, what does this really means? Obviously it doesn't mean that being an excellent cook is a sine qua non, is a prerequisite for a good marriage. I'm not saying that being a good cook isn't advantageous, but obviously burning the stew is a reflection of his being annoyed, unhappy with his marriage, and the question is whether it's just a whim and his anger temporarily and, in a casual, frivolous, silly way, is that really grounds or justification for him to divorce? Or is it something more fundamental than that? The words Ikdicha Tavshilo, or the ability of a person to be so unhappy based on such a trivial or minor, not even infraction, but a minor annoyance, may also reflect, this is what I'm going to suggest, they also reflect that the environment of this, the atmosphere of this marriage has already been poisoned. If he could become so annoyed and want a divorce over such a trivial matter, maybe it's better that they get divorced, because obviously the relationship is worth very much. Is that really what's happening here? But either way, Beis Hillel says, "Afilu ikdicha tavshilo, shenemar ki matzah ba erva's davar." It's strange that in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel quotes exactly the same makar as Beis Shammai. We'll get back to that. And then you have the third position, the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Amar Filim Matza Acheres Na Himena Shenem Rabahaya Imlo Timtzachein Be'enav. Rabbi Akiva says, even if he just loses interest in her because of his interest in someone else, that too would be grounds for divorce. Again, what does Rabbi Akiva really mean? Is this something frivolous and trivial? Or again, is the fact that he, perceives that matzah isha na hemena already dictate that the marriage is, for all intents and purposes, over, and that there's a problem? Or maybe this is something which is totally inappropriate, but if it is in fact a reality, then to continue a marriage when he's distracted and is thinking of other people is something which would be unhealthy to the marriage, unfair to his first wife, etc. So we need to understand, again, Beis Shammai, by and large, we understand, the positions of Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are the more challenging ones. Does it mean that it's easy to walk away from a marriage, or does it mean that we're hypersensitive about the level of interaction within a marriage, and in a sense, as a function of that, we allow, in some cases even, recommend the dissolution of a marriage. The second approach is much more mechudash. It's the one that I prefer. We'll have to see whether or not it's substantiated by the sources themselves. In any case, there are three perspectives in the Mishnah about conditions for divorce. There's even a difference between Beis Hillel, obviously, and Rabbi Akiva. Right? In the case of Beis Hillel, we're focusing on, for better or for worse, his displeasure with her, something that she did, or maybe something that she does constantly. Maybe it even reflects her disregard for him, not just her inability to cook, obviously, but maybe this is her way of eroding his quality of life. That's how the Miri understands the Mishnah. We'll we'll see all of this inside at some point. But for Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that she is totally blameless. She's totally the victim. In this case, his matza isha na hinena is not, presumably not her fault. So there is a qualitative difference possibly between Rabbi Akiva and Beis Hillel as well. These are the three shitos of the Mishnah. So the Baal Halachas Gedolos, I say one of the earliest works of the Gaonim, begins Hilchos Gerushin by analyzing this topic and by quoting what also appears in the Rif. I don't know if I put the Rif on the page here. I might have. It's in the back of the Gemara for those who have it. If not, probably later in these Mar Makomos. So I'll just check. The Rif Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Aleph Amud. Amud Aleph, even though this is the end of the Masechta, but the Rif expands on the significance of this sugya towards the very end and concludes that he expands it in the beginning and then he concludes in the end. You can see the last three on it's page 6 in my Mom, I'm not the pages on the same. Are there 7 pages? Oh, okay. Okay, so now I have these. So this is 5. 5 of 7, okay, at the bottom. So if you look at the last few lines, he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos. Tan Rabbanan ha'oedus ishto kigufo v'amachab de yosa migufo v'amadrich banav v'derech yishara v'amatsio noshim samachut pirkan olav akasiv omer v'yadata kishalom ha'alacha v'pakadita navecha v'lo techeta. This is the Ritz way of saying that this final sugya is about the kind of atmosphere that l'chatzila, that ideally should prevail in the context of a marriage. And then early, if you see the beginning and top of the piece, the Garcia and Perkaba Yavinto Marava, Isha Ra Mitzvah Lagarsha, Shenemar Garesh Late Sviyetse Madon, and so on. Being the Rif understood that the sugya isn't just about a technical point, it's about the environment of a marriage. And that's how the Bahag earlier starts Hilchos Ishus. Shulchan Aruch, likewise, the beginning of Hilchos Gerushin in Shulchan Aruch is Simen Kuf Yud Tes in Eben Ezer. And Simen Kuf Yud Tes is devoted to the Mishnah and Gemara here, Tzadi Yom Aleph and Tzadi Yom Beis. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch begins Hilchos Gerushin with this subject. This should be contrasted, by my dad, with the Rambam, who does not. The Rambam's treatment of this Gemara, this Mishnah, this Gemara, is very haphazard. It's basically, he speaks about it in Perek Yud, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Chaval. I think I neglected to put those Rambams down, but thank you very much in advance. Rambam speaks about these halachos not where I would have expected, based on the Bahag and the Rif and later the Shulchan Aruch, namely in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Aleph. Rambam towards the very end of Hilchos Gerushin, and in a Perek which is a collection of all sorts of odd halachos, or so it would appear at least, and in Perek Yud of that Perek Yud Halacha Chafalot. Lo Yisa Adam Isha V'dayta Lagarsha, the Rambam says, we'll get back to this, but a person should get married thinking in advance that he's going to, planning already his divorce. V'lotia Yashevas Tachtov V'misham Shasa V'dayta Lagarsha, once he's decided that he wants to go the route of Gerushin, he shouldn't exploit his wife. V'lo Yigarish Adam Isha Rishona Elim Kein Matzah V'Ervas Davar Shenemar Kein Matzah V'Ervas Davar. We'll see this is based on the Gemara. The Gemara distinguishes between a first marriage and a second marriage in terms of the ideal conditions, you know, that justify a divorce. We'll discuss that. And then halachapes again, isha rab b'deil sehab b'she'ina tznua kibnos yisrael aksheros mitzvah lagarsha shenemar garesh leitz v'yetzei madon. The Isha Shen is Garsha Mishum Pritzes, Ein Roi L'Adam Kasher Shi Yisahana, She'en V'motzi Risha Mideso, Bezeh Machnisa L'Toch Beso. So the Rambam has two halachos, halacha Chafalef and Chafes, in the middle of Perek Yud of Hilchos Ishas, which continues, this Perek in other words, till the end of halacha Chaf Gimel. And after that, there's another Perek dealing with Inyani Gerushin, Perek Yud Aleph, Ein Nosin Nesaktana, etc. Now the Rambam deals with this as a kind of a minor issue tucked away towards the end of Hilchos Geirushin. Related halachos are also dealt with the Rambam, as we'll discuss, in Perakei of Hilchos Deos, where he talks about proper attitude towards relating, husband and wife relating to each other, and not exploiting each other, you know, that there should be an environment of peace and mutual respect, and that that's a precondition to the physical relationship of husband and wife. Rambam speaks about that in Perakei Hilchos Deos. He also speaks about, again, the proper environment of husband and wife in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishus, Halacha Yutes, which again we have here. There the Rambam speaks about an expansion of the Gemara in Kiddushin. A couple of years ago we learned Kiddushin, about 3 years ago or so, we learned the second parak of Kiddushin. Right in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, the Gemara gives a good piece of advice, and that is that a person should meet or see his wife before he marries her. That sounds like a strange request to make. But actually the parak, second parak of Kiddushin, is about shlichus in Kiddushin. So the point is that ish mekadesh bo b'shlucha, ish mekadesh bo b'shlucha. So if Kiddushin is going to take place through shlichus, it is conceivable that the husband never sees his wife. Right? It's all done remote control through the shlichus. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, it's a good piece of advice that the person should meet his wife before he marries her, right? To make sure that, you know, she is someone who he thinks he can have, you know, a proper relationship with, shlutz is gana alav, because of the principle of yahafta l'reacha kamoka. So the Rambam quotes this good piece of advice in Paragimel Hilchos Ishus. I think it's a Halacha Yotes. Second. So he expands upon it. Mitzvah sheikadesh adam ishta be'atzma yeso me'al yidei shlucha. V'chein mitzvah le'isha shetekadesh atzma be'yada yeso me'al yidei shlucha. Shouldn't get married until he sees his wife. And she is someone who he shera beinav, presumably means also in terms of her midos. Shema loti matzei chein beinav. Now, the words chen beinav, we'll see in a moment, are general Hebrew, but undoubtedly it's also a way of invoking the parsha in Kitetze about Gerushin, which we'll read in just a minute. V'nimtza megarsha o shochev imav u'soda. One of the good reasons why you should see your wife in advance to add a level of security, to this marriage, to the viability of this marriage, is in order that it shouldn't erode lo timatze chen be'enav, which is the language of the psukim in Kitetze, which means that in the end he'll end up divorcing her, or he'll stay with her, but in a state of unhappiness, and that's inappropriate as well. So it's fascinating that this is partially based on the Gemara condition that I mentioned. But the Gemara condition just says, see her in advance, she loves his gana love, yahafta reacha kamoka. It doesn't say anything about the chashash of divorce, or of a marriage in which there's unhappiness and yet it continues anyway. That's the Rambam's addition in Hilchos Ishus, which is drawn from a Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, which we'll look at in a few minutes on the sheets, the Gemara Nedarim Daf Chaf Amud Beis, which speaks about the idea of Gerushas Halev. Right? It says he intends to divorce her. He views her as his future ex-wife. That should limit the interaction that they have, even if technically and legally the marriage is still intact, because as a davar shebekdusha, obviously it would be inappropriate that this intention of his shouldn't change the reality between them. So in a sense, the Rambam is partially quoting that Gemara in the Darim, both in Hilchos Deos and in Hilchos Ishus Perek Gimel, as well as hinting at it in Perek Yud of Hilchos Geirushin. There's another Rambam, which you don't have here, but the Rambam in Sefer Kedusha, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, where the Rambam in Perek Chafalef, Halacha Yud Beis, and Chaf Ches, where the Rambam also elaborates the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim. And there too he speaks about, you know, in the context of a relationship, he says basically, Isurei Bia, which is, say, for Kedusha, Hukos Isurei Bia, can also apply within a marriage. Namely, if he intends to divorce his wife, she's Grusha Saleh, or if he's, you know, already thinking about some future relationship, or even if he has more than one wife, which Al Pi Din Torah you can have. Again, reflected in the first words of this week's Parsha. If you take, say, you know, talk about the Ben Ha Huva, the Ben Ha Snua, let's say he has more than one wife, like Yaakov Avinu did. Right? So the Gemara says there in the Darim that, you know, a person cannot be, you know, physically involved with one wife while he has in mind the other wife. That would be a kind of a znus within the marriage. And this is what the Rambam quotes in Perek Kaf Aleph of Hilchos Isurei Bia, in Halacha Yudbeis and Halacha Chaf Ches, etc. So it's amazing that the Rambam, in other words, took these issues and he, like, dispersed them all over the place. Hilchos Deos, Hilchos Ishus, Hilchos Gerushin, Hilchos Isurei Bia. The Rambam felt these were important halachos. He didn't think that they were the Hagdama to Masechet or Dine Gerushin, unlike the Mahag and the Shulchan Aruch. Instead, he felt that they overlap, number one, general Hilchos Deos, right? How should a person, it's bad nigos for a person to be practicing exploitation, right, under the cover of a marriage. Or for a person simply to be misleading his wife or behaving in a way which you know, reflects a non-kedusha orientation to the interaction of marriage. That's Hilchos Deos. Then there's a Hilchos Ishus component, which, you know, is number one, practical, namely, in the process of getting married, you should take steps that preclude that you're going to end up divorced, or that the marriage is going to be one that doesn't reflect Kedusha. That's his expansion in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Gimel, to the Gemara in the Darim, etc. And then, of course, Hilchos Gerushin, where it really belongs. Sometimes it's a mitzvah of garish, when there's a deterioration of the relationship between the parties. So then, you know, divorce is demanded, or is she's a prutza, or he, you know, has rejected her, etc. That's the Hilchos Gerushin, I guess, expression of these halachos. And then there's even a Hilchos Isurei Bia manifestation, even though you're within the context of a marriage, but where Kedusha is not prevailing, so then there's an Isurei Bia component. So the Rambam took these Gemaras and did fascinating things with them. What he didn't do was see it as the foundation of the din, or the dinim of Gerushin, alone. Unlike the Mahag and the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
How does this fit in with the rebuing Lashon by Anah?
Well, there can be rebuing Lashon, again, not post Rabbeinu Gerushin, but the idea that there can be more than one wife is apparently not viewed by the halacha per se as undermining or eroding the relationship with individual wives. Now, let me say it this way. When you live in a society like, you know, Bismanenu, somebody where to practice, you know, polygamy, obviously he would be in violation of Karim Ben Gershon. But not only that, I think it would be more than that. I mean, since the norm in society is to perceive, you know, is that a single, you know, marriage is the only appropriate way to ensure mutual respect and what a marriage is supposed to be. So I think that that unquestionably impacts on halacha as well. That how exactly I'm going to stay away from it at the moment. But in other words, beyond Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, I think that it would be a tremendous chilul Hashem at minimum, and maybe even, you know, given the mentality or the psychology of people and civilized people today, to say, well, I'm just going back to Din Torah. What's wrong? If you know, the cultural assumptions are different, I think that it would, in a way, invoke the Gemara in the Darim that we're talking about. However, Bizman HaTorah, that wasn't the case. I'm sorry?
You quoted a Rambam.
Yeah.
That was opposed to...
No, I did. Which Rambam was that?
Was that
No. I said if a person... I understand what you're asking. I said the Gemara Nadarim, one of the things that it says, that if a person has two wives, and when he is physically involved with one, right, he's thinking of the other, that's also a violation, a severe violation. That it's not having two wives is a violation. On the contrary, the Rambam actually says, since we're just going a little out of order, but since you brought it up, the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos on this Mishnah, if you have it here towards the end, I'm guessing, probably like page 6 or so, or let's see. I quoted it through the Meiri, but not page, maybe the end of 5? Yeah. I just quoted it there because it's just more convenient. What is the Rambam's psak on the Mishnah of Tzadi Amud Aleph? Right? So, we generally don't paskin like Beis Shammai, all things being equal. What about Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva? Right? Both people who we often paskin like. So the Rambam, actually is very fascinating in this regard. I quoted the Rambam here before, Tarek Yud, Hilchos Gerushin, Halakha, Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis. So the Rambam says the following. Lo yisa adam isha v'dayta l'garsha v'lo tia yoshevas tachta v'mshamshasa v'dayta l'garsha v'lo yigarish adam isha rishona elem kein matzah ba'ervas dabar shenema ki matzah ba'ervas dabar v'ein ro'i l'mayer l'shaleach isha rishona aval shnia im sana yishal chena. So when it comes to Ishto Rishona, it sounds like the Rambam passes on Beis Shammai. Because it says you can only divorce, you're only allowed to divorce her if Matzaba, Erbasav, she was unfaithful to him. Some of them follow the recognition, is very bothered by this. Is that because they still agree to Beis Shammai in Zivu Grishon, or does the Rambam just pass him like Beis Shammai in Zivu Grishon? The fact that the Rambam is not so clear, even who he passes like, is further illustration or reinforcement of what I said before, which is that this sugya is important to the Rambam, but more in a diffused way, rather than as a linchpin of Hilchos Gerushin. But in Teresh Mishnayos, he tells us who he paskens like. And here he says that he paskens like Beis Hillel. I quote it through the Meiri, again at the bottom of page 5, the second to last entry. Amar Rambam, Beis Shammai Yitlu B'Milas Erba, Beis Hillel B'Amro Davar. We'll get that from the Gemara. Umayma Rabbi Akiva, Bilti Emes, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but why? Lefi Shehu Kasher Matza Tova Himena Yishena Alav Veloi Garizos Vihi Lo Chataos Klal Vihi Neusa Lemidosa Halacha Kabeisa. We'll get back to this. The Rambam, this is very, very Mechudash. Rambam says, I don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva because I think there's a better solution. Marry a second wife? Now, I think that's controversial for the following reason. Now, you could marry two wives, you know, Midin Torah, and Rambam was not bound by the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, which applied in Ashkenaz, and not to the Rambam, not to the Rambam's community in the Rambam's time. That isn't what's surprising. The question is whether Ra, or Matza, Isha, Na, Himena,
he's taking it very literally. He's taking Rabbi Akiva very literally.
Well, I don't know if he's taking it literally or not literally, but what do you mean by literally?
Because the point that, what I thought Rabbi Akiva was saying was, Beis Hillel, even though he's more makel than Beis Shammai, still machmir to some extent, it has to be something more.
Right.
This thing about knowing that is just an example.
Anything goes. That's how the Miri actually learns. We'll get back to that. We'll try to pin that down, but that's a very good point. You're right, but basically what the truth is a different. If a person wants to marry one more than one wife in the time of the Torah, he can do that. But is that because Matzah Isha Na Himena? That's still an indictment of her, which makes the first marriage. Because if I say, you know, I'm very happy with my, you know, first wife, or with my wife, but this is the time of the Torah. Now, you know, I want to have another wife. Right? So, it's not Matzah Isha Na Himena. Just, you know, different, and he wants to enlarge the experience. Exactly. Maybe it's a compliment to her in a backhand. No, I don't know about that. But the part, that's one thing. But the Rambam is assuming that there isn't an indictment and anything that reflects, he says, you know, it's not that they're not compatible, Ne'usa, And it's not like she did anything wrong. So there's a better alternative here. Why reject wife number one? Add number two. That may not be the normal circumstance of adding a second wife. The reason I'm mentioning this parashat Mishnayos now is to answer your question, which is, I wasn't suggesting that the Rambam felt that you couldn't have a second wife. What I was saying was, well, let's look at the Gemara in the Darim for 1 minute, because we're going to need it later anyway. The Gemara that I'm referring to. This is the Gemara in the Darim, the second last entry on page 7. Right, the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, Al Yishta Adam Bekozev Yiten Eina Bekozaker. This is a metaphor. Okay? Amar Avina, Lo Nitzcha El Dafilo Beis Nashav. Even if he's married to two women, and we're talking about both wives, the point is that he has to be very respectful, right, in the context of being married to two women, but it shouldn't be that that's a reason to be disrespectful to one or to both. Right, he has to, that means it's Yaakov Avinu, let's say, right? So they have to be, you know, bend over backwards to be, to relate the Kedusha and respectfully to both. And then he quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Barosi Mikem Hamordim Baposhim Bi, Amarab Rebbe, it's hard for me to read this, something, Levi, Elu Bnei Teisha Midos. This refers to nine different circumstances. And they are captured by the Rosh Tevos, Bnei Aleph Samach Osnat Mishagach. Okay, what does that mean? The Aleph, Bnei Ema, Bnei Anusa, Bnei Snua, Bnei Nidui, Bnei Tura, Bnei Meriva, Bnei, what does that say? Shichrus, and Bnei Grusha Salev, Bnei Arvudia, Bnei Chatzufa. These are nine conditions that potentially have a husband relating disrespectfully to his wife, such that we invoke this pasuk that says he's in the category of a morade, where the children that are born will be pogum, they'll be like mordim uposhim. The Ravid in Balei Nefesh says it refers not to the children, or not the children only, but especially to the boel. He himself is a morade and poshea if he relates in these ways. Now, what are these things? So the Ran, I just again copied quickly some of the translations of the Ran. Bnei Ema, Lashon Yira. Shematzel Ema Ishto. I'm going to use mine. Mine is just a clearer.
Okay.
This one's like it. Are yours clearer?
Yeah.
Okay. Shemata Ema Ishto Lihizakekla, Shalom Kirtzona. That he intimidates her, basically. This thing about the children being pagumim, again, you can understand it might be a mystical, spiritual kind of a malady. One can understand it, also in psychological terms. Meaning a child of a union in which there is no mutual respect is bound to be, detrimentally affected in terms of his upbringing. Obviously, he picks up on the difficulties and strains in the relationship. So that's Bnei Ema. What about Bnei Anusa? Again, he literally forces himself upon it. That's even different, different than intimidation. Greed, say me Bnei Ema. Did Bnei Ema lo hava Anusa mamish? Vanusa mairi bisha unsa legamri. Mitosh shnei mukrov liyo zekazeh choshenu kechad. Okay. Because if you look at the nine, and you count all of them, they're really ten. This is just an extension of the other. What if Bnei Tsnua, Shesona, right? There's enmity between them. Umitokach, no same daito, Alisha, Acheres. So he's physically involved with her, but in a totally disrespectful way, he's thinking about some other relationship or potential relationship. Bnei Nidui, Shabal Lekashihi Menuda. Alright, Bnei Tura, Shabal Achas Minasha, he has more than one. Ukasavar Shihi Tsarasa. He's involved with Leah, and he's thinking that it is Rachel. Bnei Meriva, Avavisha Eina Sona, Elisha Isa Meriva Bneiam Lefisha, even if there's just, at the moment, a temporary discord between them, right? It's inappropriate from a Kedusha point of view for them to have physical involvement. Bnei Shekhus, Shemitov Shekhusa, Eno Dev No Sein Daito Alishto. Bnei Grusha Saleh, Shegama Beliba Legarsha. The others are, ones that are left are, B'nei Arvuvia. He doesn't know. Perhaps B'nei Chatzufa. Whatever. They don't shed so much light on what we're interested in at the moment. The point is that this is where the Rambam got some of these things. But instead of putting them in a single place, what I'm trying to point out is Kedarko. You know, for the Rambam, there's a piece, there's a Hilchos Deos part of this, there's a Hilchos Ishus part of it, there's a Hilchos Gerushin part of it, and there's a Hilchos Isurabia part of it as well. So that's what I'm talking about. Not to have more than one wife, but Dafka, when you do, if you do, you have to be even more careful to relate in a respectful manner, you know, one to the other. Right? So it's not, having more than one wife is not such an easy thing to pull off. There are Hiskaibuyos, it's not that the concept of Kedusha doesn't apply, it's just that the concept of Kedusha is far more difficult, but there's still absolutely a demand to implement it. That's why I said before, Mizmanenu, where the whole psychology and culture is different, it probably would be next to, in addition to being a Chilul Hashem, it would be almost next to impossible to pull off, which is probably why it would be awesome. That's what I was referring to, but that's another story. Either way, getting back to the main point. So the Bahag and the Shulchan Aruch really begin Hilchos Geirushin with these topics, Beishama, Beisila, Rabbi Kiva, as well as the Gemara in the Darim, etc. Whereas the Rambam, as I say, thinks this is a very diffuse idea that affects and is expressed in different elements of a person's life, they know the Bein Atzmo in terms of his midos, an ishus, a gerushin, and an isurei bia component. But either way, this is the place where they begin. So there's this idea of beginning the Masechta. Obviously, I'm not just trying to justify my choice. I'm talking about the choice as a way of highlighting the importance of the topic. Is reflected in two mefarshim in the very beginning of the Masechta as well. But since we are going to learn the first parak, or mostly, so I want to say something about the first Mishnah as well as the last Mishnah. Mishnah starts on Beis Amin Aleph, Amei Biget Mimedina Sayyam. So Shiyomah B'fanei Nechta B'fanei Nechta, which means that if a person is bringing a get from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, or different places in Chutz Laretz, so the Shliach, Haget, has to pronounce B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. This get was written and signed in my presence. Then the Gemara later on, almost immediately on Beis Amin Aleph, if you look at the three lines on the bottom, my time up. So somebody's trying to reach me, so I'm trying to turn it off. Not sure how you do these things. My time. The Gemara says, what's the problem? Lefish ein b'kiyam l'shma. Rabba said, lefish ein b'kiyam l'shma. Rabba amar lefish ein eidim b'tzuyin l'kayma. So Rabba said, because we're worried that the get was written shalom l'shma, and you need to have a get written l'shma. And Rabba disagrees and says, the problem is, what if you can't substantiate or authenticate the signature of the witnesses? So that'll be a big problem in terms of the consciousness of the get, and therefore the shliach has to pronounce when he gives the get, I hereby authenticate the signatures, so that there is no problem. Now, of course, it's a very strange way to start. I mean, that's what the Rav meant, you know, about starting with Hamagarish. Why does it dindrabanan a takana that when you bring a get, Medina Sayam, this is what you have to do. You have to say b'fanai nachtav, b'fanai Nechta. So there are several strange things. Why do we begin with this Takana Drabana? That's one question that Rishonim asked, which we'll get back to, but not today. But also, why do we begin with Shlichus Haget when the Masechta is about Gerushim? Why not start with Gittin itself? I mean, how does the Rambam begin Hilchos Gerushim? Not with Dapsadi Yom Anal, okay, but also not with Hanei Beget Mimedina Sayam. How does he begin? He begins with the fundamentals of get. Number one, he starts off in the Koteret, this we'll get back to, with the idea of the mitzvah legarish, whatever that means. Hilchos Geirushin, if you look on page 1, Yesh Bechalim Shnei Mitzvos, Achas Mitzvos Haseh, Vuhu Sheyigarish HaMegarish B'Sefer. We're going to get back to that If we don't get to it at the end of today, we'll zero in on this next week when we finish this topic, hopefully. One mitzvah is to get divorced by using a sefer. That's the Rambam's formulation of the mitzvah. Shnia, mitzvah saseh, shalayachsir, grushosa mishanises, not to remarry if there was an intervening, if you got married and divorced, and then there was an intervening marriage, you cannot remarry the same woman. If there was no intervening marriage, you could, but otherwise not. That's an iser. And then, if you look at halach aleph, eino isha miskaveshes al lebiksav, shiagiyala, v'ksav zehu anikra get, this document is a get, v'yasare dvarim hein, ikar ha-gerushin min ha-torah v'elohein. And the following are the 10 components of gerushin min ha-torah, and then Rambam, this is a famous classical kind of Rambam, because there's no Gemara that says our 10, you know, fundamental conditions of a get. This is the Rambam as the Rambam. You know, he just pulled from all over, and he reformulated, reorganized, restructured the so-called Gerushin, picking out the 10 defining characteristics, and of course this was enormously influential, the Smag, and the Smak, and the Chin, everybody picked up on the Rambam's 10 principles of a get. So the Rambam starts the Hilchos Gerushin not with Daf Tzadi, but also not, clearly not with Daf Beis. So why do we start with maybe getting Dina Zayam is strange, with the Din Rabbana? Number two, why do we start with Shlichus Aget? Shlichus Aget is a prat, it's a detail in Gerushin. A third question that some bothered some of the Mefarshei HaMishnah is the language Hamevi. Hamevi sounds like a B'di'evet. This sounds like the Tosa Shans quoted in the in one of the Mefarshim, Teres Yisrael, I think, or the Lech Shlomo, I think, quotes the Tosa Shans, says, how can we begin with the language of B'di'evet, Hamevi get, if you did it this way, etc. Or, yeah. So, to answer two of the questions, the language of B'di'evet, and why we begin with Shlichos, there are two interesting answers that are relevant to what we've been discussing. The Melech HaShlomo quotes in the name of Tosa Shans, the reason that we use a B'di'evet language, Hamevi get Medina Sayam, is because most Gerushin are B'di'evet, based on the Mishnah and Sabi Yom Aleph. In both cases, one shouldn't be divorcing. If it's anything less than Matzah Bar Erbas Davar, especially if it's a Zivu Grishon, we really prefer, right, that there should be no get. Therefore, the language of Hamevi. So according to the Tosa Shans, the first Mishnah, even though it begins in a peculiar point, in a peculiar point, already hints to the prior issue of, you know, what are the conditions which make Gerushin problematic, necessary, right, neutral, etc. The Sam Sofer has a parallel comment. He says, how can we start with Shlichus and not with get itself? He says, because maybe this is the Mishnah's way of starting on a positive note. What do you mean a positive note? So if the guy is in Medina Sayam and he's sending a get, why is he doing that? Most Gittin, especially the ones where, you know, he's standing right there in her, you know, presence, in her Dalet Amos, you know, reflect a soured relationship and a contentious, you know, ending of, you know, what began as a very idyllic kinyan. However, this person who's sending a get in Medina Sayam, it's very possible that he's doing so in order to save his wife the possibility of being either an aguna if he disappears, or if he dies, shalotifal kame yavam. Again, this is the Chassam Sofer speaking, not me. So that's why it's hamevi get. That's why it's get ayudei shriya, to signify that it's a get me'ava and not a get me'sina. The truth is, the whole idea of a get me'ava is a famous discussion of the Baal Halavush. Baal Halavush asked whether or not there is such a thing as a get me'ava. Because after all, the psukim speak about a matzah by Abbas Davar, lo matzah chen b'einav. Maybe if they have good relations, and you know, he just wants to save her from Yigum or Igun, maybe that's not a get at all. The Tshuva of Maram Lublin, where he quotes this view of the Levush, Levush himself said, well, probably you can't go so far. But the Lavush raised questions whether or not the Gerushin, what he calls Me'ava, wouldn't be different in certain of its dinim than the Get Misina, specifically in terms of the ability to impose certain conditions, Chutz Mitloni, etc. My point is...
Melech did with the soldiers? Yeah. How can you say that it's not a Get at all? How about Melech did that with the soldiers?
And that's a good point. That's a good... I'm saying he very quickly rejects the idea that it's not doable. Then his only question is whether or not it's a different kind of get than another get. The point is that the Mefarshim on this Mishnah maybe also acknowledge that the problem of conditions for Gerushin is an issue. Okay. Having said that, let's look at this problem from a different perspective. And let me raise two points. You can't speak about Gerushin without also speaking about Kiddushin, obviously. And if you look at the Psukim in the Torah, that's already evident. Even before you get to the Psukim in the Torah, it's evident. There's no divorce if there isn't a prior marriage. So divorce and marriage, obviously, have to be discussed hand in hand. That's perfectly clear. However, the relationship between Kiddushin and Gerushin is sometimes striking and surprising in halachic makaros. And by that I mean the following. Obviously, as we just said, Kiddushin is a prior condition to divorce. But all things being equal, Kiddushin and Gerushin are opposites in every respect. And therefore, any relationship between the two institutions, one would expect, would reflect that opposite, that antithetical nature. However, in light of that, it's just interesting to note several things. Number one, as I mentioned, the Torah could have, but doesn't, deal with Gerushin and Kiddushin separately in two parshios. Deals with them in one single parsha. Again, the Psukim in Perek Chavdalid of this week's Parsha Sashavua Kiteitse. Ki yikach ish isha uva'ala, v'haya latim sachein be'inav, ki matza ba'er vazdavar, v'kosav l'sefer krisus, v'nasam b'yada, v'shulcha mi'beitza. Those are the psukim that reflect Kiddushin, the institution of Kiddushin and Gerushin. They're in the same pasuk. I would have thought that each one would have a parsha in its own right, that for sake of some sort of conceptual integrity, that they'd be separated. They're not. They're in a single parsha. Not just that. Yeah.
The word is opposite, the way you're using it before. I don't know if it applies here as if it were an antagonistic. One is in certain cases the resolution of the other.
Right.
It's not necessarily an.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's a culmination of, in certain cases, of you know.
Well, not culmination, I mean it's
a resolution.
A resolution, and what kind of resolution? One which, a redeeming resolution, or a...
It could be